Chapter 47. Magnetics and Electromagnetism. Fundamentals of Magnetism. Definition: magnetism is a form of energy that is caused by the motion of electrons in some materials. It is recognized by the attraction it exerts on other materials. Like electricity, magnetism cannot be seen. It can be explained in theory, however, because it is possible to see the results of magnetism and recognize the actions that it causes. Magnetite is the most naturally occurring magnet. Naturally magnetized pieces of magnetite, called lodestone, attract and hold small pieces of iron. See Figure 47-1. Many other materials can be artificially magnetized to some degree, depending on their atomic structure. Soft iron is very easy to magnetize, whereas some materials, such as aluminum, glass, wood, and plastic, cannot be magnetized at all. Tech tip: a cracked magnet becomes two magnets. Magnets are commonly used in vehicle crankshaft, camshaft, and wheel speed sensors. If a magnet is struck and cracks or breaks, the result is two smaller strength magnets. Because the strength of the magnetic field is reduced, the sensor output voltage is also reduced. A typical problem occurs when a magnetic crankshaft sensor becomes cracked, resulting in a no-start condition. Sometimes the cracked sensor works well enough to start an engine that is cranking at normal speeds, but does not work when the engine is cold. See Figure 47-2. Refer to Figure 47-1. A freely suspended natural magnet, or lodestone, points toward the magnetic north pole. Refer to Figure 47-2. If a magnet breaks or is cracked, it becomes two weaker magnets. Lines of force: the lines that create a field of force around a magnet are believed to be caused by the way groups of atoms are aligned in the magnetic material. In a bar magnet, the lines are concentrated at both ends of the bar and form closed, parallel loops in three dimensions around the magnet. Force does not flow along these lines the way electrical current flows, but the lines do have direction. They come out of the north end, or pole, of the magnet and enter at the other end. See Figure 47-3. The opposite ends of a magnet are called its north and south poles. In reality, they should be called the north-seeking and south-seeking poles, because they seek the Earth's north pole and south pole, respectively. The more lines of force that are present, the stronger the magnet becomes. The magnetic lines of force, also called magnetic flux or flux lines, form a magnetic field. The terms magnetic field, lines of force, flux, and flux lines are used interchangeably. Flux density refers to the number of flux lines per unit area. A magnetic field can be measured using a Gauss gauge, named for German scientist Johann Carl Friedrich Gauss. Magnetic lines of force can be seen by spreading fine iron filings or dust on a piece of paper laid on top of a magnet. A magnetic field can also be observed by using a compass. A compass is simply a thin magnet or magnetized iron needle balanced on a pivot. The needle rotates to point toward the opposite pole of a magnet. The needle can be very sensitive to small magnetic fields. Because it is a small magnet, a compass usually has one north end, marked N, and one south end, marked S. See Figure 47-4. Refer to Figure 47-3. Magnetic lines of force leave the north pole and return to the south pole of a bar magnet. Magnetic induction: if a piece of iron or steel is placed in a magnetic field, it also becomes magnetized. This process of creating a magnet by using a magnetic field is called magnetic induction. If the metal is then removed from the magnetic field, and it retains some magnetism, this is called residual magnetism. Attracting or repelling: the poles of a magnet are called north, N, and south, S, because when a magnet is suspended freely, the poles tend to point toward the Earth's north pole and south pole. Magnetic flux lines exit from the north pole and bend around to enter the south pole. An equal number of lines exit and enter, so magnetic force is equal at both poles of a magnet. Flux lines are concentrated at the poles end, therefore, magnetic force, or flux density, is stronger at the ends. Magnetic poles behave like positively and negatively charged particles. When unlike poles are placed close together, the lines exit from one magnet and enter the other. The two magnets are pulled together by flux lines. If like poles are placed close together, the curving flux lines meet head-on, forcing the magnets apart. Therefore, like poles of a magnet repel and unlike poles attract. See Figure 47-5. Refer to Figure 47-4. Iron filings and a compass can be used to observe the magnetic lines of force. Figure 47-5. Figure A. Magnetic lines of force spread out from around an isolated magnet. Figure B. Opposite poles attract. Figure, C, similar poles repel. Tech tip. Magnetize a steel needle. A piece of steel can be magnetized by rubbing a magnet in one direction along the steel. This causes the atoms to line up in the steel, so it acts like a magnet. The steel often does not remain magnetized, whereas the true magnet is permanently magnetized. When soft iron or steel is used, such as a paper clip, it loses its magnetism quickly. The atoms in a magnetized needle can be disturbed by heating it or by dropping the needle on a hard object, which causes the needle to lose its magnetism. Soft iron is used inside ignition coils because it does not keep its magnetism. Refer to Figure 47-6, a crankshaft position sensor and reluctor, or notched wheel. Permeability: magnetic flux lines cannot be insulated. There is no known material through which magnetic force does not pass, if the force is strong enough. However, some materials allow the force to pass through more easily than others. This degree of passage is called permeability. Iron allows magnetic flux lines to pass through much more easily than air, so iron is highly permeable. An example of this characteristic is the use of a reluctor wheel in magnetic type camshaft position abbreviated, CMP, and crankshaft position abbreviated, CKP, sensors. The teeth on a reluctor cause the magnetic field to increase as each tooth gets closer to the sensor, and decrease as the tooth moves away, thus creating an AC voltage signal. See Figure 47-6. Reluctance: although there is no absolute insulation for magnetism, certain materials resist the passage of magnetic force. This can be compared to resistance without an electrical circuit. Air does not allow easy passage, so air has a high reluctance. Magnetic flux lines tend to concentrate in permeable materials and avoid materials with high reluctance. As with electricity, magnetic force follows the path of least resistance. Electromagnetism. Definition: scientists did not discover that current-carrying conductors also are surrounded by a magnetic field until 1820. These fields may be made many times stronger than those surrounding conventional magnets. Also, the magnetic field strength around a conductor may be controlled by changing the current. As current increases, more flux lines are created and the magnetic field expands. As current decreases, the magnetic field contracts. The magnetic field collapses when the current is shut off. The interaction and relationship between magnetism and electricity is known as electromagnetism. Refer to Figure 47-7. A magnetic field surrounds a straight, current-carrying conductor. Creating an electromagnet. An easy way to create an electromagnet is to wrap a nail with 20 turns of insulated wire and connect the ends to the terminals of a 1.5-volt dry cell battery. When energized, the nail becomes a magnet and is able to pick up tacks or other small steel objects. Straight conductor. The magnetic field surrounding a straight, current-carrying conductor consists of several concentric cylinders of flux that are the length of the wire. The amount of current flow, or amperes, determines how many flux lines, or cylinders, there are and how far out they extend from the surface of the wire. See Figure 47-7. Left-hand and right-hand rules. Magnetic flux cylinders have direction, just as the flux lines surrounding a bar magnet have direction. The left-hand rule is a simple way to determine this direction. When you grasp a conductor with your left hand so that your thumb points in the direction of electron flow negative to positive through the conductor, your fingers curl around the wire in the direction of the magnetic flux lines. See Figure 47-8. Refer to Figure 47-8. The left-hand rule for magnetic field direction is used with the electron flow theory. Refer to Figure 47-9. The right-hand rule for magnetic field direction is used with the conventional theory of electron flow. Refer to Figure 47-10. Conductors with opposing magnetic fields move apart into weaker fields. Most automotive circuits use the conventional theory of current positive to negative and, therefore, the right-hand rule is used to determine the direction of the magnetic flux lines. See Figure 47-9. Field interaction. The cylinders of flux surrounding current-carrying conductors interact with other magnetic fields. In the following illustrations, the cross symbol indicates current moving inward, or away from you. It represents the tail of an arrow. The dot symbol represents an arrowhead and indicates current moving outward. If two conductors carry current in opposite directions, their magnetic fields also carry current in opposite directions, according to the left-hand rule. If they are placed side by side, then the opposing flux lines between the conductors create a strong magnetic field. Current-carrying conductors tend to move out of a strong field into a weak field, so the conductors move away from each other. See Figure 47-10. If the two conductors carry current in the same direction, Their fields are in the same direction. The flux lines between the two conductors cancel each other out, leaving a very weak field between them. The conductors are drawn into this weak field, and they tend to move toward each other. Motor principle: electric motors, such as vehicle starter motors, use this magnetic field interaction to convert electrical energy into mechanical energy. If two conductors carrying current in opposite directions are placed between strong north and south poles, the magnetic field of the conductor interacts with the magnetic fields of the poles. The counterclockwise field of the top conductor adds to the fields of the poles and creates a strong field beneath the conductor. The conductor then tries to move up to get out of this strong field. The clockwise field of the lower conductor adds to the field of the poles and creates a strong field above the conductor. The conductor then tries to move down to get out of this strong field. These forces cause the center of the motor, where the conductors are mounted, to turn clockwise. See Figure 47-11. Refer to Figure 47-11. Electric motors use the interaction of magnetic fields to produce mechanical energy. Refer to Figure 47-12. The magnetic lines of flux surrounding a coil look like those surrounding a bar magnet. Coil conductor: if several loops of wire are made into a coil, then the magnetic flux density is strengthened. Flux lines around a coil are the same as the flux lines around a bar magnet. See Figure 47-12. They exit from the north pole and enter at the south pole. Use the left-hand rule to determine the north pole of a coil, as shown in Figure 47-13. Grasp the coil with your left hand so that your fingers point in the direction of electron flow, your thumb points toward the north pole of the coil. Tech tip: electricity and magnetism. Electricity and magnetism are closely related because any electrical current flowing through a conductor creates a magnetic field. Any conductor moving through a magnetic field creates an electrical current. This relationship can be summarized as follows. Relationship number 1. Electricity creates magnetism. And relationship number 2. Magnetism creates electricity. From a service technician's point of view, this relationship is important because wires carrying current should always be routed as the factory intended to avoid causing interference with another circuit or electronic component. This is especially important when installing or servicing spark plug wires, which carry high voltages and can cause high electromagnetic interference. Refer to Figure 47-13. The left-hand rule for coils is shown. Refer to Figure 47-14. An iron core concentrates the magnetic lines of force surrounding a coil. Electromagnetic strength: the magnetic field surrounding a current carrying conductor can be strengthened, or increased, in three ways. Number 1. Place a soft iron core in the center of the coil. Number 2. Increase the number of turns of wire in the coil. Number 3. Increase the current flow through the coil windings. Because soft iron is highly permeable, magnetic flux lines pass through it easily. If a piece of soft iron is placed inside a coiled conductor, the flux lines concentrate in the iron core, rather than pass through the air, which is less permeable. The concentration of force greatly increases the strength of the magnetic field inside the coil. Increasing the number of turns in a coil and/or increasing the current flow through the coil results in greater field strength and is proportional to the number of turns. The magnetic field strength is often expressed in the units called ampere turns. Coils with an iron core are called electromagnets. See Figure 47-14. Refer to Figure 47-15. An electromagnetic switch that has a movable arm is referred to as a relay. Uses of electromagnetism. Relays: as mentioned in the previous chapter, a relay is a control device that allows a small amount of current to control a large amount of current in another circuit. A simple relay contains an electromagnetic coil in series with a battery and a switch. Near the electromagnet is a movable flat arm, called an armature, of some material that is attracted by a magnetic field. See Figure 47-15. The armature pivots at one end and is held a small distance away from the electromagnet by a spring, or by the spring steel of the movable arm itself. A contact point, made of a good conductor, is attached to the free end of the armature. Another contact point is fixed a small distance away. The two contact points are wired in series with an electrical load and the battery. When the switch is closed, the following occurs. Number 1. Current travels from the battery through a coil, creating an electromagnet. Number 2. The magnetic field created by the current attracts the armature, pulling it down until the contact points close. Number 3. Closing the contacts allows current in the heavy current circuit from the battery to the load. When the switch is open, the following occurs. Number 1. The electromagnet loses its magnetism when the current is shut off. Number 2. Spring pressure lifts the arm back up. Number 3. The heavy current circuit is broken by the opening of the contact points. Relays may also be designed with normally closed contacts that open when current passes through the electromagnetic coil. Refer to Chart 47-1, Comparison between a relay and a solenoid. Frequently asked question. Solenoid, or relay? Often, either term is used to describe the same part and service information. See Chart 47-1 for a summary of the differences. Solenoid. A solenoid is an example of an electromagnetic switch. A solenoid uses a movable core rather than a movable arm and is generally used in higher amperage applications. A solenoid can be a separate unit or attached to a starter, such as a starter solenoid. See Figure 47-16. Electromagnetic induction. Principles involved. Electricity can be produced by using the relative movement of an electrical conductor and a magnetic field. The following three items are necessary to produce electricity, or voltage, from magnetism. Number 1. Electrical conductor, usually a coil of wire. Number 2. Magnetic field, and number 3. Movement of either the conductor or the magnetic field. Therefore, electricity creates magnetism. Magnetism can create electricity. Magnetic flux lines create an electromotive force, or voltage, in a conductor if either the flux lines or the conductor is moving. This movement is called relative motion. This process is called induction, and the resulting electromotive force is called induced voltage. This creation of a voltage, or electricity, in a conductor by a moving magnetic field is called electromagnetic induction. See Figure 47-17. Voltage intensity. Voltage is induced when a conductor cuts across magnetic flux lines. The amount of the voltage depends on the rate at which the flux lines are broken. The more flux lines that are broken per unit of time, the greater the induced voltage. If a single conductor breaks 1 million flux lines per second, 1 volt is induced. There are four ways to increase induced voltage. Number 1. Increase the strength of the magnetic field, so there are more flux lines. Number 2. Increase the number of conductors that are breaking the flux lines. Number 3. Increase the speed of the relative motion between the conductor and the flux lines so that more lines are broken per time unit. Number 4. Increase the angle between the flux lines and the conductor to a maximum of 90 degrees. There is no voltage induced if the conductors move parallel to, and do not break, any flux lines. Maximum voltage is induced if the conductors break flux lines at 90 degrees. Induced voltage varies proportionately at angles between 0 and 90 degrees. See Figure 47-18. Voltage can be induced electromagnetically and can be measured. Induced voltage creates current. The direction of induced voltage, and the direction in which current moves, is called polarity and depends upon the direction of the flux lines, as well as the direction of relative motion. Lenz's law, an induced current moves so that its magnetic field opposes the motion that induced the current. This principle is called Lenz's law. The relative motion of a conductor and a magnetic field is opposed by the magnetic field of the current it has induced. Self-induction, when current begins to flow in a coil, the flux lines expand as the magnetic field forms and strengthens. As current increases, the flux lines continue to expand, cutting across the wires of the coil and actually inducing another voltage within the same coil. Following Lenz's law, this self-induced voltage tends to oppose the current that produces it. If the current continues to increase, the second voltage opposes the increase. When the current stabilizes, the counter voltage is no longer induced because there are no more expanding flux lines, or no relative motion. When current to the coil is shut off, the collapsing magnetic flux lines self-induce a voltage in the coil that tries to maintain the original current. The self-induced voltage opposes and slows the decrease in the original current. The self-induced voltage that opposes changes in current flow is an inductor called counter-electromotive force, abbreviated CEMF. Refer to Figure 47-16, Figure A, a starter with attached solenoid. All the current needed by the starter flows through the two large terminals of the solenoid and through the solenoid contacts inside. Figure B, a relay is designed to carry lower current, compared to a solenoid, and uses a movable arm. Refer to Figure 47-17, voltage can be induced by the relative motion between a conductor and magnetic lines of force. Refer to Figure 47-18, maximum voltage is induced when conductors cut across the magnetic lines of force, or flux lines, at a 90-degree angle. Mutual induction, when two coils are close together, energy may be transferred from one to the other by magnetic coupling, called mutual induction. Mutual induction means that the expansion or collapse of the magnetic field around one coil induces a voltage in the second coil. Ignition coils. Ignition coil windings. Ignition coils use two windings and are wound on the same iron core. One coil winding is connected to a battery through a switch and is called the primary winding. The other coil winding is connected to an external circuit and is called the secondary winding. When the switch is open, there is no current in the primary winding. There is no magnetic field and, therefore, no voltage in the secondary winding. When the switch is closed, current is introduced and a magnetic field builds up around both windings. The primary winding thus changes electrical energy from the battery into magnetic energy of the expanding field. As the field expands, it cuts across the secondary winding and induces a voltage in it. A meter connected to the secondary circuit shows current. See Figure 47-19. When the magnetic field has expanded to its full strength, it remains steady as long as the same amount of current exists. The flux lines have stopped their cutting action. There is no relative motion and no voltage in the secondary winding, as shown on the meter. When the switch is opened, primary current stops and the field collapses. As it does, flux lines cut across the secondary winding, but in the opposite direction. This induces a secondary voltage with current in the opposite direction, as shown on the meter. Mutual induction is used in ignition coils. In an ignition coil, low voltage primary current induces a very high secondary voltage because of the different number of turns in the primary and secondary windings. Because the voltage is increased, an ignition coil is also called a step-up transformer. Electrically connected windings. Many ignition coils contain two separate, but electrically connected, windings of copper wire. This type of coil is called a married type and is used in older distributor-type ignition systems and in many coil-on-plug abbreviated, COP, designs. Electrically insulated windings. Other coils are true transformers in which the primary and secondary windings are not electrically connected. This type of coil is often called a divorce type and is used in always spark type ignition systems. See Figure 47-20. Refer to Figure 47-19. Mutual induction occurs when the expansion or collapse of a magnetic field around one coil induces a voltage in a second coil. Refer to Figure 47-20. Some ignition coils are electrically connected, called married, left figure, whereas others use separated primary and secondary windings, called divorced, lower figure. Ignition coil construction. The center of an ignition coil contains a core of laminated soft iron, or thin strips of soft iron. This core increases the magnetic strength of the coil. Surrounding the laminated core are approximately 20,000 turns of fine wire, approximately 42 gauge. These windings are called the secondary coil windings. Surrounding the secondary windings are approximately 150 turns of heavy wire, approximately 21 gauge. These windings are called the primary coil windings. The secondary winding has about 100 times the number of turns of the primary winding, referred to as the turns ratio, approximately 100 to 1. In many coils, these windings are surrounded with a thin metal shield and insulating paper and placed into a metal container. The metal container and shield help retain the magnetic field produced in the coil windings. The primary and secondary windings produce heat because of the electrical resistance in the turns of wire. Many coils contain oil to help cool the ignition coil. Other coil designs include the following. Number 1. Air-cooled, epoxy-sealed E-coil. The E-coil is so named because the laminated, soft iron core is E-shaped, with the coil wire turns wrapped around the center finger of the E and the primary winding wrapped inside the secondary winding. See Figure 47-21. Number 2. Spool design. Used mostly for a coil-on-plug design. The coil windings are wrapped around a nylon or plastic spool or bobbin. See Figure 47-22. Ignition coil operation. The negative terminal is attached to an ignition control module abbreviated, ICM, or igniter, which opens and closes the primary ignition circuit by opening or closing the ground return path of the circuit. When the ignition switch is on, voltage should be available at both the positive terminal and the negative terminal of the coil if the primary windings of the coil have continuity. A spark is created by the following sequence of events. A magnetic field is created in the primary winding of the coil when there are 12 volts applied to the primary coil winding and the ignition control module grounds the other end on the coil. When the ignition control module, or powertrain control module, opens the ground circuit, the stored magnetic field collapses and creates a high voltage, up to 40,000 volts or more, in the secondary winding. The high voltage pulse then flows to the spark plug and creates a spark at the ground electrode inside the engine that ignites the air-fuel mixture inside the cylinder. Refer to Figure 47-21, AGM waste spark ignition coil showing the section of laminations that is shaped like the letter E. These mild steel laminations improve the efficiency of the coil. Refer to Figure 47-22, the coil unplug design typically uses a bobbin type coil. Electromagnetic interference. Definition: until the advent of onboard computers, electromagnetic interference, abbreviated EMI, was not a source of real concern to automotive engineers. The problem was mainly one of radio frequency interference, abbreviated RFI, caused primarily by the use of secondary ignition cables. Using spark plug wires that contained a high resistance, non-metallic core made of carbon, linen, or fiberglass strands impregnated with graphite mostly solved RFI from the secondary ignition system. RFI is a part of electromagnetic interference, which deals with interference that affects radio reception. All electronic devices used in vehicles are affected by EMI and RFI. How EMI is created: whenever there is current in a conductor, an electromagnetic field is created. When current stops and starts, as in a spark plug cable or a switch that opens and closes, the field strength changes. Each time this happens, it creates an electromagnetic signal wave. If it happens rapidly enough, the resulting high-frequency signal waves, or EMI, interfere with radio and television transmission or with other electronic systems, such as those under the hood. This is an undesirable side effect of the phenomenon of electromagnetism. Static electric charges caused by friction of the tires with the road, or the friction of engine drive belts contacting their pulleys, also produce EMI. Drive axles, drive shafts, and clutch or brake lining surfaces are other sources of static electric charges. There are four ways of transmitting EMI, all of which can be found in a vehicle. Number 1. Conductive coupling is actual physical contact through circuit conductors. Number 2. Capacitive coupling is the transfer of energy from one circuit to another through an electrostatic field between two conductors. Number 3. Inductive coupling is the transfer of energy from one circuit to another as the magnetic fields between two conductors form and collapse. Number 4. Electromagnetic radiation is the transfer of energy by the use of radio waves from one circuit or component to another. EMI suppression devices: there are four general ways in which EMI is reduced. Resistance suppression. Adding resistance to a circuit to suppress RFI works only for high voltage systems. This has been done by the use of resistance spark plug cables, resistor spark plugs, and the silicone grease used on the distributor cap and rotor of some electronic ignitions. Suppression capacitors and coils. Capacitors are installed across many circuits and switching points to absorb voltage fluctuations. Among other applications, they are used across the following. Number 1. The primary circuit of some electronic ignition modules. Number 2. The output terminal of most alternators. Number 3. The armature circuit of some electric motors. Coils reduce current fluctuations resulting from self-induction. They are often combined with capacitors to act as EMI filter circuits for windshield wiper and electric fuel pump motors. Filters also may be incorporated in wiring connectors. Shielding. The circuits of onboard computers are protected to some degree from external electromagnetic waves by their metal housings. Ground wires or straps. Ground wires or braided straps between the engine and chassis of an automobile help suppress EMI conduction and radiation by providing a low resistance circuit ground path. Such suppression ground straps are often installed between rubber-mounted components and body parts. On some models, ground straps are installed between body parts, such as between the hood and a fender panel, where no electrical circuit exists. The strap has no other job than to suppress EMI. Without it, the sheet metal body and hood could function as a large capacitor. The space between the fender and hood could form an electrostatic field and couple with the computer circuits in the wiring harness routed near the fender panel. See Figure 47-23. Refer to Figure 47-23 to help prevent underhood electromagnetic devices from interfering with the antenna input. It is important that all ground wires, including the one from this power antenna, be properly grounded. Review questions. Question 1. What is the relationship between electricity and magnetism? Question 2. What is the difference between mutual induction and self-induction? Question 3. What is the result if a magnet cracks? Question 4. How can ME be reduced or controlled? Question 5. What is the difference between a married ignition coil and a divorced ignition coil? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Technician A says that magnetic lines of force can be seen by placing iron filings on a piece of paper and then holding them over a magnet. Technician B says that the effects of magnetic lines of force can be seen using a compass. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 2. Unlike magnetic poles, and like magnetic poles. A. Repel and attract. B. Attract and repel. C. Repel and repel. D. Attract and attract. Question 3. The conventional theory for current flow is being used to determine the direction of magnetic lines of force. Technician A says that the left-hand rule should be used. Technician B says that the right-hand rule should be used. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. Technician A says that a relay is an electromagnetic switch. Technician B says that a solenoid uses a movable core. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Two technicians are discussing electromagnetic induction. Technician A says that the induced voltage can be increased if the speed is increased between the conductor and the magnetic lines of force. Technician B says that the induced voltage can be increased by increasing the strength of the magnetic field. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. An ignition coil operates using the principles of A. Electromagnetic induction. B. Self-induction. C. Mutual induction. D. All of the above. Question 7. Electromagnetic interference can be reduced by using A. A. Resistance. B. Capacitor. C. Coil. D. All of the above. Question 8. An ignition coil is an example of A. Solenoid. B. Step-down transformer. C. Step-up transformer. D. Relay. Question 9. Magnetic field strength is measured in A. Ampere turns. B. Flux. C. Density. D. Coil strength. Question 10. Two technicians are discussing ignition coils. Technician A says that some ignition coils have the primary and secondary windings electrically connected. Technician B says that some coils have totally separate primary and secondary windings that are not electrically connected. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 47.